Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns over the air and online at koacountry1077.com and at lava1053.com. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here on the radio every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. There's lots of talk about the plan which Hawaiian Electric Industries and NextEra out of Florida have for NextEra to purchase HEI, which includes Helco, the utility on our island. But there's been less discussion about another important alternative option for Hawaii Island's power needs, and that is establishing an electric cooperative here on the island. Now, is this a new idea? Not really. As long ago, I believe, as the 1930s, when major electric companies were coming into existence but were not interested in providing service in rural areas because they felt there would not be enough revenue to justify the capital expenditures required, electric cooperatives became an option. There's a group here on Hawaii Island that is very interested in starting an energy cooperative, and we will hear about the Hawaii Island Energy Cooperative today. But in addition, know that the idea of a utility cooperative here in the state is not a new idea. We will also hear today about the Kauai Island Utility Cooperative. Representing the Hawaii Island Energy Cooperative, we have Dr. Marco Mangelsdorf, who received his PhD from the University of California and has been in solar energy and the renewable energy field since 1978. In 2000, he joined ProVision Solar and then purchased it from Hawaiian Electric Industries in 2003. And he's been very active in the industry. He testifies a lot at hearings. He speaks before industry groups. And since early 2015, he's been involved with the Hawaii Island Energy Cooperative, serving as a director and the spokesperson. Good morning. Aloha, Dr. Mangelsdorf.
You can call me Marco, please.
Okay.
Let's not rest on titles. No, it's a great treat to be with you today, Sherry, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're not the only one, because on the phone from Kauai, I am also delighted to welcome David Bissell with Kauai Island Utility Cooperative. David has been... You don't mind, David, if I call you David, since I'm going to call him Marco, right?
No, that's fine. I don't have any PhD in those fancy titles. So.
But you do have the title of CEO of Kauai Island Utility Cooperative. And more than that, you earned the 2013 Utility CEO of the Year honor from the Solar Electric Power Association for your work, particularly with Kauai Island Utility Cooperative. David told me before we started talking on the air that he started his career many years ago with the Indiana Hoosier Energy Cooperative, and he's been here on Kauai Island since 2006. He was the chief financial officer and became president and CEO in 2011. Good morning. Aloha, Mr. Bissell. David.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on the air.
Okay, David, I briefly mentioned a few things about energy cooperatives, but maybe you could add the things that I left out about what an energy or utility cooperative really is.
First of all, in terms of cooperatives, in the United States, there are approximately 800 electric cooperatives operating, and as you said, they've been operating since the early 1900s, or early to mid-1900s. They're operating in 46 states, and they serve millions of customers and members on the mainland. The big difference about an electric co-op from investor-owned co-ops are they are owned by the people who use the power. Co-ops are member-owned, member-operated. So everybody that gets an electric bill and is on an account would be an owner and would be able to vote and participate in the governance of the cooperative. Cooperatives are nonprofit. On Kauai, we have 9 directors with 3 elected each year. No, general election, everybody on the island of Kauai votes for each director.
Curious question about... You mentioned that everybody who has electricity, which is essentially your whole island, comes from your organization. Does that mean if suddenly you need an infusion of capital, you go to the members and ask them to provide it?
No, the members have no personal liability for the debts or obligations of a cooperative, nor are they asked to contribute personally other than paying their electric bills. If we had as all utilities are, ultimately the users pay through rates, and a co-op's no different than an investor-owned, and that we would, if we weren't earning enough money to pay our bills, the rates would have to go up. But the nice thing is, vice versa, on a cooperative, if we're earning more than we need, we essentially lower the rates. We give the money back to our members. It doesn't go off to shareholders or any other interests. It goes back to our members through patronage.
Marco, what is your thinking about a Hawaii Island Energy Cooperative? Tell us a little more about this concept so we understand what you and your colleagues, because you have a very esteemed board of directors, what you and your colleagues are thinking about.
No, I'd be happy to. And I think a little bit of background probably would help the listeners kind of understand the genesis of how we came about. And it really goes back to the proposed merger, more like a takeover of Hawaiian Electric Industries by NextEra, which was announced December 3rd of last year. And that got a number of us thinking about, well, this could be very well kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do something truly transformational and dramatic for Big Island residents, of which there are about 195,000 residents of the Big Island and about 84,000 electric utility customers under HELCO, Hawaii Electric Light Company. And I also have to say that I was inspired by seeing David speak in December as well last year when he and I believe one of the founders and main guys behind KIUC, Dennis Sasaki, came and spoke to a number of us in Hilo. That got me to thinking about, gee, what are the possibilities of doing perhaps something similar here on this island, especially now that the utility companies were essentially in play with NextEra making a play on HEI. So we see, as I said, this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do something similar to what David and his predecessors have done on Kauai Island. And the benefits and advantages of a co-op, as David mentioned some of them, I think are very compelling compared to an investor-owned utility company. And we have been essentially pursuing a strategy of getting a seat at the table. We are an intervener on the merger docket along with KIUC and 26 others for a total of 28 interveners plus the state consumer advocate. You know, we've never gotten around a great big roundtable, all interveners, but the HIEC essentially are acting in what we feel to be the best interests of residents on this island to educate, introduce this concept, and to essentially position ourselves that if and when there is a willing seller of Hawaii Electric Light Company, which I want to make clear there is not right now, there explicitly is not, but a lot can change dramatically in the course of days, weeks, or months, and we want to make it very clear to whether that's HEI, which is the current owner of HELCO, or any follow-up company that we are standing at the door knocking, so to speak, with our checkbook at the ready to make a serious play on the utility company here and turn it into a co-op and, you know, largely emulate the model, the successful model that KIUC has been living and breathing for the past almost 13 years now.
You brought up a key point. There has to be a willing seller, and you are looking at only Hawaii Island, so Hawaiian Electric Industries and or their intended purchaser, HEI, would have to agree to sell HELCO. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And just to be clear, Hawaiian Electric Industries is the holding company. They're the holding company of Hawaiian Electric Company, which is HECO on Oahu. And HECO is essentially the holding company of MECO and HELCO, which is kind of a lot of perhaps mumbo-jumbo, but essentially HELCO is a subsidiary of the larger parent company, and we believe that a case can be made that it would perhaps be in their best interest, whoever the owner is, to consider a serious offer to let go of this particular subsidiary.
David, when Kauai Island Utility Cooperative started, it had to be purchased from an electric company, did it not?
It did. It was purchased from Citizens Utilities out of Massachusetts. And the difference is Citizens had made a strategic move to get out of the electric business and to concentrate on the telecommunications business. So KIUC is a division of Citizens, was on the market.
How did you finance it? Where did the money come from? Well, I don't know. Can you tell me what the purchase price is and then tell me how did you finance it?
Yes, it was purchased for a little over $200 million, and the financing came from the United States government. As one of the neat things of a co-op is we are able to access money from government money from the Rural Utilities Service that's under the Department of Agriculture. So KIUC was funded 100% from debt from Uncle Sam. Government money is a co-op. You pay a very low interest rate. It's the rate that the government borrows plus a small administrative fee. So it's a great way to be able to finance transactions. It's great to be able to do it with 100% debt. We started with zero equity back in 2002, and we've grown to almost $100 million of equity since then. So about almost 30% owned by our local members now, as opposed to the government funding.
Marco, do you have any sense what the value of HELCO might be, and then also how you might fund it?
Sure. But before I answer that, I just wanted to give one kudo to Dave and his crew that, to my knowledge, when he talks about racking up $100 million in equity, which I think is fantastic, is that that has allowed KIUC, if I'm not mistaken, on an annual basis since 2003, I believe, it has allowed KIUC to send a check in the mail to its members as opposed to the usual direction of having checks go from ratepayers to the utility company. So that's one of the great benefits of a co-op, is that that money is not going to shareholders for dividends, it's going to the members, and the money stays on the island. And I think that's an incredible benefit and real advantage that co-ops have. So kudos to David and his group for being able to do that.
Thank you, Mark. And that is an important part of the cooperative nature, is the patronage nature, that all members share in the gains of the co-op. And KIUC, since it's been founded, has, I think it's about $28 million that we've returned to our membership through checks, like written right back to them. So Marco's correct. There's no off-island shareholders or nobody trying to make a buck on investing in KIUC or any of the cooperatives. It's just people sharing in the use of the product and on a patronage basis.
And you actually send a check. You don't just lower the utility rates like you mentioned at the start. You actually send a check?
Well, we used to send checks. In a cost-efficient efficiency move, we primarily now just offset their bill when it comes up.
Well, that's still pretty cool.
Yeah. It all works the same.
So, Marco, do you care to share what you think the value of HELCO might be?
I'd be happy to, Sherry. And clearly that's subject to negotiation when the time comes. And a big, big factor would be whether it were to be an all-cash purchase or, as a friend of mine described, partial wampum and partial cash, wampum being a stock swap or some type of other leveraged purchase. And with the case of HIEC, if we were to have that opportunity, it would be an all-cash purchase. So understandably, an all-cash purchase, one is likely to be able to get the product, so to speak, at a lower price than if you were to have some type of leveraged buyout and including other assets. So that said, I can't give you a definitive figure. I mean, the fair market value of something as large as a utility company on this island especially, which anybody who's lived here for any length of time, you've seen the map of the outline of the Big Island and how all the other islands fit in it, and the fact that the infrastructure that HELCO has stretches far and wide, and it's rather expensive in terms of limited customer base, in terms of the degree of urbanization and concentration that you find on Oahu. So all that said, the figures that I have seen, again, very much subject to interpretation, are probably somewhere in the $500 to $600 million range, although my friends at NextEra would and have told me that I'm lowballing that quite a bit, but they have their own interests at heart, of course, as well.
And where would the funding come from?
Well, you'd be surprised, perhaps, that coming up with $600 million, if you have, a legitimate cause and you know the right people and the right organizations, that it's not as nearly as far-fetched as you might think, or as somebody on the resident on the island may wonder. How in the world can a co-op that's been around for a handful of months and has relatively small assets, how in the world could they come up with $600 million to purchase a utility company from HEI? You have to know the right people, and the right people we've been introduced to. And there are organizations on the mainland that live and breathe this co-op stuff, and they pool their resources, their assets, their enthusiasm. Like David said, there are more than 800 of them across the U.S. mainland, and then, of course, including KIUC. I've been led to believe, and, Sherry, I'm no financial guru. I'm not a Wall Street guy. I don't hang out in the halls of Bishop Street downtown Honolulu all that much. But the people who do that kind of live and breathe that kind of stuff tell me that if and when we're fortunate enough to get to that point, that the money should be available. And that assumes, of course, that we're able to present a financial plan that shows that this co-op, if and when it has the opportunity to take root, that is going to be financially viable. So money in, money out. You take in more money than you put out. Otherwise, you know, you don't stick around too long. You have to prove to the financial market or markets that what you're proposing is doable, it's viable, it's not pie in the sky, and that they will get paid back at the interest rate that makes it worthwhile for them.
And a brief interruption. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. We're here every Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, 8 a.m. Lava, 105.3 FM. And the interviews are posted online at lava1053.com, koacountry1077.com, which is where you may hear last week's interview with Jay Ignacio, president of Helco, and Eric Gleason, president of NextEra Transmission, talking about why NextEra wants to have Helco and what their plans are. This interview today is the first of two with Marco Mangelsdorf of the proposed Hawaii Island Energy Co-op and David Bissell, president of the existing Kauai Island Utility Cooperative. Right now, the State Public Utilities Commission has an open docket as to whether NextEra should be able to buy Hawaiian Electric Industries. PUC is doing listening sessions here on this island, the 29th, a Tuesday, at Hilo High at 6, the 30th, a Wednesday, at Kealakehe High at 6. In order for you to be able to effectively discuss the issue, you need, like I need, to learn more about the issue, which is why we're doing all these energy interviews. And you may also see a forum that I moderated last week in Hilo online at BigIslandVideoNews.com with many of the players involved to help again clarify what's going on. I'd also recommend to you to Google Mina Morita blog, former chair of the PUC. She was part of the Energy Forum in Hilo for the Hawaii Island Chamber of Commerce, and she's got a comparison chart that looks at some of the issues relative to a regulated utility, an energy co-op, and a municipal utility district. Now, let's get back. David Bissell wants to add something about the financing of a possible Hawaii Island Energy Co-op.
Yeah, if I may add, as part of KIUC's formation, the part of proving your value, we put together, and it would be expected for a new co-op on the Big Island, they'd have to put together a 10-year or more financial model that would show that the co-op can be financially viable. And that's both for the potential lenders and also for the Hawaii Public Utilities Commission. The nice thing about when you form one of these, you have to conclusively prove that you're a better option than the alternative. So the financial model would have to prove out that it can lower rates, that it can be self-funded and be able to pay the cost of the debt and keep the lenders happy. And also it has to be balanced by keeping the member and ratepayers happy. So it's got to be balanced. It's got to put together really a compelling argument. And from what I've heard from Marco and some of his financial advisors, they think that argument can be made. I talked about the federal government funding KIUC, but there's also other sources within the cooperative network, as we call it. There's a cooperatively owned bank called CoBank. There's also a cooperatively owned bank called CFC, Cooperative Finance Corporation. Both of those are ready, willing, and certainly able to lend money into an operation either in whole or in part to fund something of that level, and they could also access Wall Street through their sophistication and ability to source funds. So there's a lot of financial resources out there, but it's got to be a letter of intent with the seller, and there's got to be an approval from the PUC saying that it's a good deal for the ratepayers. Once that happens, the co-op network mobilizes, and they'll be there to provide all the assistance they can, and it really helps that big organization behind. We have a national trade organization, the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association, and between them and the banks, there's a lot of sophisticated resources that can come to bear and help out, and really they're a free resource for Marco to draw on.
So if all of those things happen, if HEI and or NextEra agreed to sell, if the Hawaii State Public Utilities Commission agreed with this, how long, Marco, before you could actually start the HIEC and get it going?
Well, the sequence would have to be something along the following. There would have to be obviously a willing seller, with that being either Hawaiian Electric Industries or NextEra. And that, of course, is going to depend on what happens with the merger docket. And the chair of the PUC, Randy Wasse, has stated publicly that he expects or hopes, I forget the verb he used, to have a decision sometime June of next year. And that's assuming that one or both parties don't walk away from the deal in the interim. So the sequence would be this merger deal either goes forward or collapses. That's kind of a binary, you know, take the fork in the road, right or left. That's going to be a number of months, if not longer, playing out. And if we were to find a willing seller, then there would be a new docket that would be opened up with the Public Utilities Commission, just like there was for the sale of Kauai Electric to KIUC years ago. So a new docket would be opened, and you would have the opportunity of multiple interveners would petition the PUC to become an intervener. I believe when KIUC was purchasing Kauai Electric, there were less than, I don't know, four or five. David can correct me on that. But it's I have no doubt that if and when we have a docket open to purchase Helco from the owner, that there are going to be a lot more than four or five interveners. So that's yet another docket that would be opened, and that would take time, you know, a year, year and a half, longer. I mean, especially with this particular, where we are with the PUC these days, where they are really struggling, I think, under the weight of all these really important dockets that they have on their plate. So to answer your question, Sherry, when would an HIEC actually take root, actually become operational? Here, I think, you know, it's going to be certainly not a matter of months. It's going to be a matter of several years.
So I have a philosophical question for both you gentlemen. I can clearly understand why NextEra would want to have Oahu. It's a very densely populated island, and that's a good thing from the electric utility standpoint. Hawaii Island is a very large island. It's primarily rural. We have large distances between places that have to be served. We have challenges just in the geography of getting lines places. Why do you think that NextEra wants Hawaii Island as part of the purchase, and why HEI might be unwilling to sell? What do you think, David? You're in this business a long time.
Well, my first comment is I agree with you. It certainly sounds, and from all indication and discussions we have, it sounds like a natural fit with a co-op. Co-ops typically operate in rural areas, less densely packed. It's a real good feel for a fit with a cooperative model, less so with an investor-owned because of the geographical distance. You know, for investor-owned, a big part of their business model and their financial model is rate-based, which means you have assets that you get to earn return on. So I think, you know, at one level, it could be simply a financial matter that they want that, if Marco's right, $600 million more of value that they can earn 10% return on or whatever they end up getting. That's a purely financial side. I think there's probably some interest in the immense natural resources over there and ability to have a high level of renewable penetration to help with their renewable portfolio standards that they must achieve. But ultimately, that's a really good question. I don't have the answer, but I do think there's a strong potential fit with the co-op model over there. It just feels right for a co-op.
Marco, why do you think they want Hawaii Island? Because it does not seem to fit with what NextEra might want as an investor-owned utility.
Well, it's certainly much more expeditious to go for a package deal. And the package is Hiko, Helco, Miko.
I guess I'm thinking that maybe Hawaii Island is a bargaining chip.
I can't speak to that. On the negative side, note that the returns that HEI and Hiko file in terms of taxes don't break down their subsidiaries in terms of individual P&L. Okay, so as far as I know, there are not public records that one can go to and actually determine the profitability of Helco. That said, speaking to some of my colleagues over the years, the loud and clear message that I've received is that of the three utilities, Hiko on Oahu, Miko Maui County, and Helco here on the Big Island, that Helco is not, I want to be careful and diplomatic here, not a particularly strong profit driver for them for the reasons of the challenges here on this island. Now, Hiko is the jewel in their crown by far. That's where they're going to make their last stand if, for example, there were to be efforts on the part of the Oahu County Council, Honolulu City Council, and or the state to, let's say, go with a condemnation strategy and exercise what I think of as an eminent domain ploy to try to condemn Hiko and take it over in the public interest. And that sounds perhaps a bit far-fetched, but there are individuals in state government and the legislature who have been thinking out loud about this as a possibility. But on the positive side, like David said, the fact that Helco is so far beyond HECO, certainly, and also beyond MECO in terms of renewables out here. So as the HECO companies, HECO, HELCO, MECO, present to the PUC what progress they've made in terms of renewable energy development and renewable energy generating capacity, HELCO skews things substantially in their favor. So conversely, if HELCO were to be out of their picture, so to speak, out of their calculation, HECO and MECO would look substantially less good, so to speak, kind of mangled English. But the fact that we have done so much and we're over 50% renewable in terms of power consumption here last year, and that goes up year to year to year, and we're not decades away from 100% electricity from renewables here, as the governor wants for the whole state. We are years away. We're
on
a lot
this
closer.
Island.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's seen as a real asset.
Well, the interesting thing to me about that is that this island does have the most renewable, which most people hope eventually translates to lower rates. But clearly, this island has the highest utility rates. So I'm curious, David, were you able to lower on Kauai to lower the utility rates? I guess the answer is yes, you're giving people checks.
Well, that helps lower it. But, you know, no, since we've been formed, every utility's rates have gone up. Oil, which is still the predominant source of energy, has, you know, gone way up since 2002. So overall, bills have gone up for everybody in the state. What we've been successful with is a co-op, and what we're proud of is the rate differential between Kauai and the other islands has greatly shrunk. Back when we were founded in 2002, we were, I think it was 68% higher than Oahu and 10 or 12% higher than the Big Island, and somewhere around that area for Maui. And now we're at par, a little bit below the Big Island, pretty close to Maui's rates, and we're down to within 20% or so of Oahu. So co-op, we watch how we spend our money. We're not interested in spending money to get things in the rate base. We're interested in not spending money. In fact, we challenge, why do we need to do this? Why are we spending money? And we've also invested wisely in renewables. It has helped draw that gap down, and the renewables we've done have all been to lower bills. If we've been lucky here, similar to the Big Island, we've got great resources here. The sun has been a huge factor for us. We've just got our second large cooperative-owned solar farm coming online in Anahola. We're producing energy out of that the last couple of weeks. That's 13 megawatts. We've got another one in Kalua that's been going for about a year. And all told, we've raised since 2006, when I first started here, we were at 5 or 8% renewable, and we'll be above 40% this year. So we put a lot of money, a lot of hard work into growing our renewable portfolio standards, and it's helping really lower the gap or erase the gap to the other islands.
I believe I read that your goal, KIUC's goal, is to have 50% renewable energy by 2023. Is that right?
That's correct. And it's funny because that was a very aggressive goal that we set back in 2008 when we were at 6 or 8% renewable, and, you know, it was a real stretch goal. And now all of a sudden with the islands and the state moving towards 100% goal, it's like, well, what are you doing for me lately? We're almost at 50%, so our goal is almost achieved many years early, but now we got to look hard at the next 50%.
So do you think you can achieve the state's goal by 2045 of being 100% renewable?
Well, it can certainly be achieved. The question is, at what cost?
Yeah, that's an interesting question as well, because I noticed that in the proclamation that would happen, there was really no discussion of how one converts. Now, Marco Mangelsdorf for Hawaii Island, can Hawaii Island, under the Hawaii Island Energy Cooperative model, can it achieve 100% renewable by 2045?
Oh, I think it can be done considerably before that, Sherry. Like David mentioned, cost necessarily must be a really key criterion. It can't be renewable energy at any cost. One of the most important things that a utility must do, along with having the lights on close to 100% of the time, because people will put up with a lot, but they're not going to put up with frequent power outages or their electronics getting damaged by spikes or sags. So beyond reliability, the affordability of their utility bills is really, really important. And there are still far too many families on this island and other parts of the state that are having to make very painful choices between paying a utility bill and having enough food in their pantry to feed themselves. Where's that sweet spot in terms of moving as fast as possible with more renewables, but also keeping it affordable. And there's not some grand spreadsheet or equation that you plug in all the variables and you hit enter and then it all spits out what the magic solution is. I mean, it's really kind of feeling as we go. But as far as 100% renewables, we're going to get there, I feel very confidently, a lot sooner than 2045.
And with that, we're going to say aloha for now to our conversation with Marco Mangelsdorf, representing the proposed Hawaii Island Energy Cooperative, and David Bissell, president of the existing Kauai Island Utility Cooperative. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. And until we pick up this conversation again next Sunday morning, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.